Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Our colleague in the newsroom, Laura Fletcher, is reporting in the last couple of minutes that adult asylum seekers will no longer be offered state-provided accommodation when they arrive into the country, and this could last for a number of weeks. So this follows an announcement a little earlier this morning that newly arriving international protection applicants will cease to be offered accommodation at the City West transit hub, and the government department responsible has confirmed that it's pausing the provision of emergency shelter for asylum seekers at City West. Last Thursday, the Minister, Roderick O'Gorman, said they were approaching a point where accommodation could no longer be offered to international protection applicants, with the exception of the most vulnerable. So it seems that that point has been reached today, and we'll get more detail on that later on and across the day. Now, last week on the show, Senator Lynn Ruane spoke to me about burnout. She was getting through a big workload, but she was finding it hard to switch off, and she never felt rested. Now, she's tackled her burnout in several ways, through therapy, by taking a holiday, taking up new hobbies, renewing old ones. And she also referenced a book when we spoke that helped her. It's called The Burnout Solution, and the author is psychotherapist Siobhan Murray, who joins me in the studio today. Good morning to you, Siobhan.
Good morning, Claire.
We're really interested to talk to you because Lynn specifically said when she went away and took a break, your book was one of the tools that was really important in helping her to address the burnout. And we saw Jacinda Ardern, the New Zealand Prime Minister, saying that she had nothing left in the tank last week. Can you talk to me about the classic signs of burnout, the ones that are common across the board?
So, and I think this is one of the things that's really important in this, Claire, is the things that I'm going to say, we'll all go, oh yeah, no, I felt like that, and I felt like that. This is when it's continual, when there's no let up from it. So it's that lack of motivation. We might be getting really irritable with people, our colleagues, family. We're not feeling are in control. We might be starting to depend on alcohol, that glass of wine, two glasses of wine every night as a perceived distressor, issues with sleeping, falling asleep or being able to fall asleep, but waking up 2-3 in the morning, the mind is just going because the cortisol, your stress levels are so high. Feeling disengaged, not wanting to be out socially with people. But the biggest one that I'm now seeing is the inability to rest. It's not being able to sit down. So people are sitting down, but their minds are still going. They're not, that's not restorative rest. Mm-hmm. And then when it starts to really kick in, when we're looking at chronic burnout, we're now looking at people being signed off work.
So then you're in the vicious circle of mm-hmm. not being able to rest, being increasingly exhausted, and the impact that that has professionally, personally, socially, and it just gets worse.
Yeah, it's just a vicious. I think what I've realised in the last few years is how toxic burnout is to the individual. Forgetting about, you know, the knock-on effect to family and work, but to the individual. Unrecognised by the person, it will eat away at them.
Mm-hmm. And it's good, isn't it, that people are talking about this now, like Lynn last week and many others as well. But is it becoming more common, and is it a symptom of how we are expected to live now?
Well, you know, 10, 20 years ago, we weren't working with companies. We weren't virtual working with companies in different countries. We weren't having meetings at 11 p.m. Or being up at 5 a.m. to catch somebody in Australia. We're working in a way that we've never worked before. And that in some levels is great. That's not it. But we're also not putting those boundaries, the personal boundaries in place in order to manage. So everything revolves around work. There is, and I mean, personally, I don't like the term work-life balance. I think that's too black and white. I think it's work-life integration. But it's just become about work and guilt if we're not working. It's that constant pushing and pushing.
Mm-hmm. But what was really impressive about Lynn Ruane was recognising that there was a problem and then doing something about it, because that's really difficult when you're in the maelstrom of burnout and you're feeling all of those symptoms that we spoke about, to be able to say, right, what do I need to change to make this, to fix this?
Yeah. And I think what's really interesting is, you know, you don't get burnt out. You're fine on a Monday and you're burnt out on a Tuesday. So it happens very slowly. So we adapt, we nearly adapt to that, and that becomes our new normal. But also tied up into that, being honest and saying, I'm not feeling great. There's a huge fear of judgment by your peers, by your colleagues, of not being able to cope. You know, on the outside, it might be I have a job, I have a house, I have a family, I have all these great things going for me, but I'm completely burnt out. But not having the confidence to admit it, which is the first step.
Mm-hmm. And you speak from experience. You're an expert now in this and you talk to people all of the time in corporations and individually, but only because you know exactly what it's like because you went through it yourself.
Yeah, I'm very similar to Lynn. It happened to me when I was much younger in my 20s, but I didn't know what it was. Now, I didn't end up in hospital, but it was that completely withdrawing into myself. In my 30s, I remember when it happened a second time, I lived very close to where I worked. I used to drive home at lunchtime and lie on the kitchen floor, just going, OK, I have 45 minutes and I'll do this and then I'll get back into the office. And it was just this constant, because I wasn't changing anything because I didn't realise it. I didn't realise I had to change the way I was living in the world and manage my health, my physical, emotional and mental health in order to be able to have joy, mm-hmm. you know, to be content.
So how long were you lying on the floor at lunchtime before you realised I have to change this?
A long time. It was, I think it really took until I left working in the corporate world. And it was at that point that I went and studied to be a psychotherapist. And through that process, you have to do 50 hours minimum of your own personal therapy. And I had dipped in and out of therapy. Like, I'd put all the little plasters on over the years. But this was the first time that I actually started to understand. And for me, the biggest catalyst was 15 years ago when I gave up drinking. And that allowed me the space to go, okay, how do I mind myself so I can still strive and still do all the things I want to do? And I probably work longer hours and more now than I did when I used to get burnt out.
Really?
But I now know what I have to do each and every day in order to manage my stress levels, to look after my health, my mental and physical health.
So tell me, how do you do it?
So it's micro things. It's not the yoga classes. It's not the getting in the car, driving somewhere, doing a class, coming back. I'm a single mum. I don't have that luxury. So I get out at least 3 or 4 times a day. I go outside my front door and I do a 5-10 minute walk. Now, if I get to do a big walk, as I call it, for an hour, great. But if I put everything into that big walk and I don't go outside the door, that big walk doesn't happen. Then there's a day that I haven't gone for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm very cognizant of the micro things. I would practice box breathing, you know, count in for 4, hold for 4, out for 4. It doesn't cost me anything. I do that when I put the kettle on. So I do it in the car. I bring in small little things that will allow me to reduce my stress levels, to bring my heart rate down. And anybody can do these. You know, I find it really difficult to do long mindfulness. It never.
Yeah, and some people, that's what turns people off. You
absolutely.
You have to do mindfulness, you have to do meditation, you have to, you know, do the self-care piece, whether that's a bath or whatever. And that sometimes is just too much.
Yeah. It's just too overwhelming to try and slot this in. But, you know, and I'm going to refer back to Lynn with her playing snooker. That's mindfulness, because when she's playing snooker, she's completely focused on that one thing. Mm-hmm. So whether it's baking, whether it's reading a book that you're really into, whether it's going for a walk for 5-10 minutes or an hour without your phone and looking around you, bring in mindfulness. All mindfulness is being in the present moment.
And do you ever get moments where you think, I'm losing control of this now and I'm heading back to where I was?
I would identify it much quicker. So I would find, if my sleep would be the first thing to go.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm starting to see that, then I have to go, okay, what's going on here? What have I taken on too much? Have I got too many projects on?
And in your experience now, is it all walks of life that this is happening to, all age groups as well?
Absolutely. And I think what's really interesting, because previously this would have been, you know, CEOs and it would have been people with massive responsibility. What I'm seeing is it's anybody who has a very, very strong work ethic. So it can be somebody who works in a supermarket, it can be the CEO, it doesn't matter. It is a student, anyone who's putting that pressure to be a high achiever in whatever they do, who is pushing them themselves.
They're all at risk. Yeah. Well, Siobhan, we'll have to have you back again and we'll talk more in depth about the burnout solution. That, by the way, is the name of the book, which is out now by Siobhan Murray. And Siobhan, we'll talk again. Thank you for coming in today. That's all we have time for. Thank you very much for listening. Today's programme was produced by Barbara Feeney, research by Emma Cawley. Our broadcast coordinator was Louise Kerr-Ross. On sound was Jamie Doyle. And a reminder again, Dr. Maura Finn will be here tomorrow talking about concussion, what to look out for, how to treat it. If you have any questions for Maura, todaycb@rte.ie is the email address. Now, it's coming up to midday. Let's go over to Louise.